Go ahead and get your Bibles. Now, we're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time tonight in review because all of this is on tape. If you did not hear, if you weren't here in person for the Sunday evening service and you do not get that tape, I promise you, at some point in this series, you're going to end up confused. And you say, well, don't speak a negative confession. Hey, listen, people in the body of Christ today are confused about being born again. And they are born again. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. You know, we have covered so much ground in this, and Sunday morning was the message on Sunday evening was almost like a step up to the next level as far as this whole study is concerned. So if you don't get that Sunday night tape, you know, you may end up getting left behind, which I don't think that'll happen because of the nature of all this, but somebody who's kind of stubborn and they don't want to accept what God's doing, they'll be left behind. So you need to get Sunday night's tape. It is that important. And if you know somebody, in fact, those of you who are here all the time and you've heard these messages, I would just ask you to encourage others to be here, because there are folks that don't show up because they're lazy. And I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but the bottom line is we've got some lazy people in here who aren't concerned about the direction they're going with God. And that's not to be an insult. I mean, truth is the truth is, and sometimes truth needs to be told. And there are some folks here that aren't capturing the vision. And I think that was kind of plain Sunday morning, don't you think? Yeah, really. But anyway, just encourage the folks. Encourage each other. Everybody expects me to be the encourager. You're the pastor. It's part of your job, right? Well, it needs to come from the other folks here who are also capturing the vision that God has and flowing right along with this. So encourage folks. Let them know, you know, hey, you need to get these tapes. Do not miss any of these messages in this series, because we're going to pick up where we left off Sunday night. Tonight we are. And we're going to cover a few things, because what we did Sunday night is extremely important for us as far as where we're going with regard. Well, of course, all these messages have been. But I could tell Sunday night by the expression on some faces. It was like those little light bulbs went off above some people's heads. You know how sometimes when a dog cocks his head and doesn't understand what's going on? Well, I saw some head cocks with smiles on the faces. Some folks were capturing some things on Sunday night that I'll just call revelation. You know, revelation got through to them. But anyway, we're not going to do much review at all tonight. We will do some more a little bit on Sunday morning. But right now, I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to see these verses very briefly with very little comment on them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, we have learned to this point that Christ hath redeemed us from every curse you can possibly find within the context of the law. The curse of the law. He has redeemed us or purchased us out from underneath that curse. So therefore, if I go back to the law and find a curse, that curse no longer applies to me when it comes to my walk with God, because I no longer am under that curse. I've been redeemed out from underneath it. Romans chapter 7. Turn back over there. Romans chapter 7. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So it's not a matter that I've been delivered or redeemed from the curse of the law, but at the same time, I've been delivered from the law. So not only can I go back and read about all the curses and I realize, hey, I'm redeemed from all aspect of the curse, I can also go back and find all the ordinances of the law and realize that I have been delivered from those ordinances and I no longer have to perform those ordinances of the law. Galatians chapter 4, turn back over there. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, remember in verse 6, even though it's a capital S, he's not talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about your born-again spirit. And to paraphrase that, what he's saying is, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has sent forth into you His very nature. You have been born again with a new nature. You've been born again with that born-again spirit. It's because you are now His offspring, born of the incorruptible Word of God. You now, as His offspring, have the right and the honor and the privilege to cry out, Abba, Father, because He literally has become your Father. And because He's become your Father, and because you've become His child, you are no longer a servant to the law, because Christ has redeemed those out from under the law. So you're no longer a servant to the law, but now you are a child of God. And the way that you serve God is not out of the oldness of the letter or the ordinances of the law that everybody else had to do, but since you've been born again, receiving in yourself that born-again spirit, that is now how you serve God. It's out of that born-again spirit, that new nature that you received from Him through trusting in Jesus Christ. You no longer have to go back and take a look at all of the ordinances or the letter of the law and do those things in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. All right, Colossians chapter 1. And we have to go over these tonight in order to get across what we're going to look at tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Okay, now these four passages that we've just looked at, once again, this is what we've learned. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, so no aspect of that curse has any effect on me whatsoever, because I've been purchased from out underneath it. Not only have I been redeemed from the law, or the curse of the law, but I've also been delivered from the law itself. So it's not just a matter that the curse can't touch me. Now I've been delivered from the law. I no longer have to serve any of the ordinances of the law itself. So I've been delivered, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, I've been delivered from the law, I've also been adopted as God's son. I literally have become His offspring because I've been born again of the incorruptible Word of God, the seed, the Word of God. So I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, delivered from the law. I am literally the Son of God because I've been born again. And not only that, but I have been translated from one kingdom, the power of darkness, the kingdom or the domain of Satan. I have been completely taken out of that, and I have been placed over here in a totally new kingdom, which is the kingdom of God's dear Son. So my citizenship is no longer where it used to be. My citizenship is now in a whole new kingdom. Now those four things are extremely important for us to remember and grasp the fullness of in order to understand what God wants for us concerning this area of prosperity. It is the failure to understand these things which has caused a lot of teaching to go forth about prosperity, which is wrong and does not line up with the Word of God as the Word of God pertains to those of us who are born again. All right, now let's take this another little step further. Galatians chapter 5. Back up over there. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, again, we're cutting right into this because the bulk of this is on the tape from the previous message. Verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now, where he says ye did run well, he's saying, look, for a long time you folks were doing really well as far as your walk with God. Everything was going the way it should. You were walking according to your new nature. But somebody has come in and they have begun to teach you that you now not only are born again, but required to obey the ordinances of the law. And he says, I want to know something. Who came in and hindered you that now you don't obey the truth, or you're not following the truth, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? You've been redeemed from the curse, redeemed, delivered from the law. You're His son. You're living in the kingdom of God. You know, who's come in and done this to you? Let me tell you something. Verse 8. This teaching is not coming from Him that calleth you. This teaching that you're getting, it's not born of God. It's not born of Jesus. It's not born of the Holy Spirit. None of the Godhead is involved in delivering this teaching to you. I want you to get that across. And so here he's trying to deal with the same thing that we're dealing with now. And that is that people have come along in the body of Christ today, and they're trying to tell us that in order for us to experience prosperity, and again, I realize there's all kinds of prosperity, but we're talking about money and material things, the kind of things it takes to spread the gospel. There are people that are teaching us today in the body of Christ, well-meaning teachers, that in order for us to experience true prosperity, we've got to go back to the ordinance of the law and enforce those ordinances in our life. Because if we don't, there's no way we're going to be blessed. There's no way we're going to experience prosperity. Well, in verse 9, he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so what we do here, applying that to our teaching, somebody can stand up and be teaching about healing and all these other things, and they can be right on as far as the Word of God is concerned, but then all of a sudden they jump over and they start teaching about the ordinances of the law. They point to the new covenant, the covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ as far as our healing, our redemption, etc., etc., etc. But then when it comes to prosperity, they jump back to the old covenant. They jump back to the ordinances of the law and say, this is how you become prosperous. This is how you begin to operate in money, in material things. This is how you gain in the world today. Well, the truth is, if I'm delivered from the law, delivered from the curse, if I'm the Son of God living in a whole new kingdom, then the kingdom I'm living in has to operate by a whole different set of rules. It can't be operating by the old rules because the law's been done away with. See? All right, now, let me give you an example of how this leaven operates. Go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Give you an example of how somebody can get twisted on this, especially if they don't listen to these messages from tape one all the way through. Somebody can come along and say, now, Brother Martin, I hear what you're saying. And, I understand about being born again and so forth. And, you're doing a pretty good job, except, I've got to question you on something here. Now, you're telling us, especially after that sermon on Sunday night, you're telling us that the law's been done away with. You're telling us that no aspect of the law applies to us anymore, that we've been delivered from those ordinances. Well, I've got a question from you. Do you believe the Word of God? Well, yes, I do. Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God? Of course I do. Do you think that Jesus would lie? Well, no, I don't. Well, you telling us that nothing of the law applies to us anymore and all that, would you mind taking a look with me in Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 and 19? Jesus himself says this, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Brother Martin, I've got a question for you. You're telling me we've been delivered from the law. You're telling me the law has no effect on us. But yet, Jesus himself said these very words. He said that till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle of the word, it won't pass from the law. And not only that, if I were you, Brother Martin, I'd watch out, because this very next verse, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and teach men so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Now, I don't want to scare you or anything, Pastor, but it sounds to me like you may be treading on thin ice. How do you respond to that? Okay, this is a perfect example of how people will take the Word of God, pull things out, teach them, and in the process, they are splintering God's Word, and they're producing leaven. Now, to understand what Jesus is talking about here, let's take a look at a few things. Because this will be very clear by the time we're done. I say, I hope so, Pastor, because right now I'm just not so sure. Yes, it will. This passage has to be kept in context. First off, this comes right out of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. All right? And this includes the Beatitudes and all of those other things in there. But this comes from what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, look in verse 19. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." But let's read verse 20. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." All right, now, first off, we've learned just from these verses that in order for me to enter into the very thing that I could be called least in, I first must do something to gain entrance. That something is my righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, on what did the scribes and the Pharisees base their righteousness? The law. They based their righteousness on performing the works and the ordinances of the law. And Jesus says, your righteousness must exceed that righteousness. Alright, so I need to find out then, how can my righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees so I can enter into the kingdom of heaven? I've got to enter into the thing before I can be judged greatest or least in it, don't I? Well, of course I do. Well, the way that I enter into the kingdom of heaven, let me just clarify something now. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and kingdom of God's dear Son in some places are interchangeable. All right? Just to share that with you. Now, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? My righteousness must be greater than that than the scribes and the Pharisees. How does that happen? By putting my faith in Jesus Christ. He was made to be sin for me so that I could be made the righteousness of God. The Bible also, and what we've learned to this point, tells us that if the law itself could have produced the righteousness that God demanded, there would have been no need for a second covenant. That covenant was the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, if I could have depended upon the law, the works and the ordinances of the law, in order to receive for myself a righteousness that exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, all I had to do was perform the works of the law. But I can't do that. It's got to go beyond that because God Himself said, that won't cut it. Sure, you can do those things, but it won't change the nature on the inside of you. So when I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, at that moment I become born again. I become the righteousness of God. I am made the righteousness of God. That is when my righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. So now that I know how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, look again in verse 19. He says, therefore, if you break one of the least of these commandments and teach people to do so, you'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Alright, now, since I know that I can't put my faith in the works or the ordinances of the law to receive the kind of righteousness it takes to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then once I get into the kingdom of heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ to be made the righteousness of God, the commandments that he's talking about here in verse 19 cannot be the law. Because if obeying the works and the ordinances of the law could have produced that kind of righteousness, I wouldn't have needed the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the works and the ordinances of the law are inadequate to produce that kind of righteousness that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when he's talking about commandments and connecting them with the kingdom of heaven, those commandments cannot be commandments associated with the works and the ordinances of the law because those cannot produce the righteousness I need to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, if those commandments have nothing to do then with the works and the ordinances of the law, what are these commandments that Jesus is talking about? I need to find that out because it's teaching or not teaching, obeying or not obeying those specific commandments which make a difference in my standing as it pertains to being in the kingdom of heaven. All right? Look over in Luke chapter 16. And we'll find this out. I can tell this is one of those you need to get to tape kind of messages. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus is speaking and he says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." All right. Now, Jesus has told us that heaven and earth will pass away before any part of the law passes away. But he's also said, right after that, almost in the same breath, he said, but if you teach people to break these commandments You're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. But to get into the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees who kept the law and depended upon that as their righteousness. I'm telling you, it's not good enough. He says here in Luke, up until this time, the law and the prophets have been preached and taught to you. However, since that time, the kingdom of God is being preached unto you. All right. Now, if the kingdom of God was being preached unto them, who in the world was preaching it? He was. If you look over in Mark chapter 1, you don't have to turn to it now, but it tells us that Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of God. He was the only one qualified to preach the kingdom of God. He was the only one at that point on this planet who was a citizen of the kingdom of God because he had a sinless nature on the inside. He was the righteousness required to be in that kingdom. And so Jesus is telling us here, he says, now look, heaven and earth will pass, but the law won't pass away. But anybody who breaks these commandments, the least of these commandments, just breaks the least of them, and even teaches people to do so, that person is going to be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. To get into the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness must be greater than your teachers. That righteousness is going to be based upon my blood. Heaven and earth, or the law and the prophets have been taught until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. I'm the one that's coming, and I'm preaching the kingdom of God. If Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God, and he tells us that we're not supposed to be breaking commandments or teaching people to break certain commandments, and he knows that the law itself is going to pass away, there's no way he's going to stand up and say, let me teach you about the kingdom of God, but at the same time tell you to keep the law I'm going to deliver you from. See what I'm saying? So the commandments he's talking about in verse 19 have to pertain to the kingdom of God. They can't pertain to anything else. He's not referring to the law, the commandments of the law. He's referring to the principles of the kingdom of God. To see this even more clearly, turn all the way over to chapter 7 there in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 24. He's concluding this entire teaching. Therefore, or in conclusion, whosoever heareth this Sermon on the Mount, my preaching of the kingdom of God, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, it fell not, it was founded upon a rock. What rock? The principles of the kingdom of God, not Jesus, is his teachings. And he says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, the principles of the kingdom of God, and doesn't do them, shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because the things he was teaching conflicted with what they had been hearing from the scribes and the Pharisees. He was preaching the kingdom of God. They were teaching the law. And he's saying, you don't understand. It's no longer going to be the law how you operate in this life. It's going to be the principles of the kingdom of God that I have come teaching to you. All right, now back up to chapter 5. Jesus has come. He's teaching us and preaching to us the principles of the kingdom of God. And he's telling us, this is how you're supposed to operate. If anybody comes along and tells you to operate any other way, they will be least in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say they were going to be kicked out of the kingdom of heaven. He said they'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's not preaching heresy, all right? Coming in and preaching crazy, weird stuff. Here's an example of that. If I come in teaching you that the only way you're going to be able to prosper in life or touch financial material prosperity is to go back and follow the ordinances, commandments, and works of the law, if that's what I'm teaching you, I'm teaching you to not follow the principles of the kingdom of God concerning prosperity. And Jesus says, if that's what you're teaching people, if you're not teaching them the principles of the kingdom of God, you're teaching them the things of the law, you're going to be considered least in the kingdom. Because when you stand in judgment, you'll be held accountable for the very things that you have been teaching. And because of that,
It is your doctrine that will condemn you. What you taught is going to be judged by the Word. The Bible tells us this is what's going to judge us. And so he says, I'm going, in essence, put it like this. When you stand up here in judgment, we're going to take the principles of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, my kingdom, we're going to stack that up against everything that you've been teaching. And that stuff that you've been teaching, if it doesn't agree with this, you're going to be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Do you think God will reward us for teaching anything other than the principles of the kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of God's dear Son? There's no way. So if I teach you to follow the works and the ordinances of the law for your prosperity, I am not teaching you the principles of the kingdom of God. And I will stand in judgment for that teaching. Now, let's look at this. This entire teaching, the entire Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving principles of the kingdom of God. He was teaching these things people that when they, the people that heard it at that time, they couldn't do these things that he was teaching because they weren't born again. They couldn't live this way. They still had a sin nature. But Jesus was preaching this kingdom because remember, what did he tell the disciples? He said, now listen, fellas, I'll be gone. But once I'm gone, I'm going to tell the Father we're going to get together, send the Holy Spirit. Now when he comes back, here's what he's going to do. He's going to put you in remembrance of these things that I've said. So I'm going to stand here and teach these things to you now. I know you're going to forget a whole bunch of it, but don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's on the way. He'll put you in remembrance of these things that I've taught you. The principles of the kingdom of God. All right, now, this whole Sermon on the Mount was a teaching on the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see something in this. He says, verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, heaven and earth will pass, but one jot or tittle will nowise pass until all be fulfilled. Well, what is the all be fulfilled that he's talking about? He answers that in verse 17. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill. Heaven and earth will pass before one jot or tittle of the law has been fulfilled. I'm the one that's coming to fulfill the law. As I am fulfilling the law, I promise you, heaven and earth won't pass until the law is fulfilled. I am the fulfillment of the law. So therefore, you're watching me fulfill everything that God had given. I'm fulfilling it right before your very eyes. I'm the fulfillment of this law, and when I hang on that cross and I die, the law dies with me. All will have been fulfilled. That's why he comes right back in verse 19. Whoso therefore break one of these, the least of these commandments, what commandments? The commandments he's giving them in this whole preaching, the principles of the kingdom of God. He says, you'll be considered least in the kingdom of heaven if this is what you do. If you try to put people back underneath the law that I'm fulfilling that will pass away after I have fulfilled it and completed it. Now, we don't have time to go into everything he spoke on here, but I want to show you some things. He says, I didn't come to destroy. He said, I've come to fulfill. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said. Verse 31, it hath been said. Verse 33, again, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said. All right, what's he doing? He's saying, now listen, you've heard these teachings. This is what you've heard all along. But what's he doing? He's preaching the kingdom of God. All right, look back in verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said, verse 22, but I say unto you, verse 27, ye have heard it was said, verse 28, but I say unto you, verse 31, it's been said, 32, but I say unto you, 33, ye have heard that it was said, 34, but I say unto you, 38, ye have heard it was said, 39, but I say unto you, 43, ye have heard it was said, 44, but I say unto you. In other words, he's trying to get across to them, these are the kinds of things that you've heard all along. But I say unto you, there's something different that's on the way. There's a new principle. Well, who was it that was saying these things to the people? Look back in verse 20. It was the scribes and the Pharisees. It was the people that had been teaching them. You have heard that it was said by the scribes and Pharisees, this is how you become righteous. But I say unto you, that will have no effect on your righteousness. That's based completely upon my completed and fulfilled work of the law. The law being fulfilled in me will produce for you the opportunity to be made the righteousness of God if you put your faith in me. So he says, I say unto you, or he says, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. Now, in chapter 6, jump over there. In chapter 6. Now, we don't have time to break through in chapter 6 and go through all of this the way that we'd like to, but during the course of this entire series, we're going to go back and pick up some things in chapter 6. It's very important. But in chapter 6, if you look at verse 16, he says, moreover, when you fast. All right, so he starts off there in verse 16 and he's talking about fasting. But look at the end of verse 18. He says, and thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, now that reward, get your eyes off an exclusive spiritual aspect of the reward. This includes an open reward, a tangible type of reward. Now, immediately after he makes that statement in verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves steal and so on and so forth. And then if you jump down in verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. So in other words, beginning in verse 16, he's talking about fasting. And he stays on fasting for a little bit and he blends that right into a teaching of prosperity. And that teaching goes all the way through to the end of this chapter, verse 34. Take a look in verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this teaching in chapter 6, the bulk of it is dealing with prosperity. All right? And this is prosperity as it pertains to the kingdom of God. Now, let's back up and take a look at verse 8. He says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. All right. Now, the last part of that, he says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. He emphasizes Father. He doesn't say God. He's emphasizing Father here because he's emphasizing the relationship that we will be able to enter into through our faith in Jesus. Remember, the adoption of sons. That's one of the passages that we looked at the very beginning of this tonight. And so he's emphasizing he is going to be your father. You will be his child, literally, through me. Now, when that happens, I want you to key in on this now, folks. Your father knows what you have need of before you ever go and ask him. Because he's your father. All right? Now, verse 8, the end of that, says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now see, that flies right in the face of what the scribes and the Pharisees had been teaching the people. Because they had been teaching them something totally different. They had been teaching them, you get your needs met by following the principles and the ordinances of the law. And Jesus was saying, not anymore. Now, it's simply a relationship between you and your Father. He knows what you have need of. And if you'll just simply seek His kingdom and His righteousness, these things are going to be added unto you. You don't have to go back and do all the stuff they've been telling you. Grain offerings, wave offerings, animal sacrifices, and all this other. You don't have to do that. He's your Father. He knows what you have need of. All right, now, to paraphrase what He had been doing in chapter 5, remember He said, you have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. All right, now, if we take that principle and apply it to this, here's what it kind of sounds like. You have heard it said, put so much money in the plate, or you will be cursed. But I say unto you, you have been redeemed from the curse, delivered from the law, adopted as God's son, and translated into His kingdom. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now see, that flies right in the face of what we're taught today, doesn't it? That's because we're listening to teaching that goes right along with what the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching. That's because we're being taught the ordinances of the law in most of the prosperity services that we sit and listen to. And Jesus is telling us, folks, it's not like that. He is your Father.
Do you understand? He is your Father. Because He's your Father, He knows what you need. But how many of you, when you were growing up at home, I'm making an assumption you had a halfway decent home life. How many of you, when you were growing up at home, your father knew what you needed? I mean, He knew you needed clothes. You weren't going to go to school buck naked. He knew you needed food. He knew you needed all these things, a bed, this. He knew this. It might not have been the greatest in the world or the best that money could buy, but He knew what you needed. And Jesus is trying to get that across to us. Your Father, He is your Father. Used to, He was Jehovah God that was separated from you by a sin nature. And you had to approach Him through the ordinances of the law. You had to bring these offerings. The only way He could relate to you was through this thing called the law. But I'm telling you, I'm going to fulfill the law. After I fulfill the law, you then can experience the adoption of sons. You've heard it said, but I say unto you, in the kingdom of God, here's how it operates. You've heard it was said in times past, but I'm here to tell you it operates differently in the kingdom of God. And when you accept me as your Lord and Savior, no longer do you have to sit under teaching that tells you, bring thus and thus and put it here in this plate or you're going to be cursed, because I say, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. I have delivered you from the law. I have made it possible for you to be born again into the family, to become God's son. And I have established a kingdom that you now are a citizen of. So no longer do you have to do this to try to get God to put a shirt on your back. He is your Father and He knows this. And if you prioritize His kingdom and His righteousness in your life, instead of seeking your own kingdom, seeking your own works, if you will only seek, I'll put it like this, if you will only seek to maintain an intimate relationship with Him, if you'll only seek to pursue His goals, what He wants to see accomplished in the kingdom, if that's what you'll do, prosperity will not be a problem. But it's when you get out from underneath the principles of His kingdom and you try to operate differently, that's when you're going to begin experiencing lack. There are too many people in the body of Christ today who are experiencing lack, and we don't even know why we're experiencing lack. We've given till there's nothing left to give. We've tithed until there's nothing left to tithe. We've done everything that we hear our teachers tell us, but the bottom line is, we still have lack in our lives. That's because we're trying to operate in the area of prosperity under a set of laws that don't work anymore. And Jesus says, hey, wake up. Your Father knows what you need. You think you can buy your provision from Him with that? You think if you fill enough of those plates, you can buy your food from Him? He's your Father. He knows what you have need of. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. Seek to understand who and what you've become as the righteousness of God. And you'll understand how that provision manifests in your life. You'll understand how prosperity manifests in your life. It's because you don't live in that old kingdom anymore. You live in mine. This is how we operate. This is how we operate. Hallelujah. Tell you what, why don't you stand?